The priests sailing on board the ship that carried the first English settlers to Maryland feared they might not make it at all. The sea itself turned against them. The ship, the Ark, was a modern marvel, 400 tons of wood and iron, but it shuddered and keeled on its voyage as howling winds tore at its mainsail and raging waters dislodged its rudder and swept the deck. There were some 140 souls on board, men and women, noblemen and indentured servants, Protestants and Catholics, adventurers and priests, all clinging to the vessel tossed by the raging sea. Father Andrew White had envisioned the journey to Maryland as a divine mission to bring Christianity to a new world. But on that night, he feared that mission would end before it began, with the ship engulfed by the ocean. So he prayed. He called to the heavens, describing the Ark's sacred mission and promised to dedicate his life to bringing Catholicism to the native people. "I had scarcely ended," he marveled, "when the winds began to subside and the ocean began to calm, sparing the ship." The Ark stopped at Barbados, Guadeloupe, and Virginia. Then, in March 1634, the ship sailed up the Potomac River and anchored at a small island in Maryland that the priests named St. Clement's. Disembarking, the voyagers found a land of oak and walnut groves, verdant meadows, and flocks of herons that swooped and soared over the shimmering waters. The men carved a rough cross from a tree and fell to their knees as the Jesuit priests officiated at the first Catholic Mass in the British colonies in America. "We erected it as a trophy to Christ the Savior," wrote Father White, describing the cross, "with great emotion of soul." They had been sent to Maryland under the auspices of Cecil Calvert, Lord Baltimore, a prominent English Catholic who had received permission from the King of England to establish a new territory. English Catholics, viewed as disloyal to the monarchy because of their suspected allegiance to the Pope, faced a raft of harsh restrictions at home. They could be fined, imprisoned, deported, even executed for practicing their faith. The new colony would be a place where they could worship freely, a place where gentlemen farmers and fortune hunters could acquire vast tracts of land, where impoverished white women could work in the households of the wealthy, and impoverished white men could work the fields and then save to buy plots of their own. Lord Baltimore would allocate more than 20,000 acres of the colony's land to the early Jesuits. In order to work the land, they planned to rely on indentured servants. Father White brought somewhere between 20 and 44 with him on that first voyage, and initially focused their evangelizing on the people indigenous to the region, the Piscataway. "We had not come thither for the purpose of war, but for the sake of benevolence, that we might imbue a rude race with the precepts of civilization and open up a way to heaven," wrote Father White, with a characteristic condescension common among Europeans at the time. Nobody knew whether Catholicism would thrive or wither in the fledgling colony in those early years, but the first reports weren't promising. Four of the first 14 priests to settle in Maryland returned to England within a year. Four died of yellow fever. Three died in Virginia. One was killed in an accidental shooting, and two, including Father White himself, were shipped back home in chains when a Protestant uprising toppled Maryland's Catholic governor. Still, White's fellow Jesuits continued to spread the faith, seeking converts among the native people, Protestant settlers, and newcomers who kept coming to the colonies hungry for opportunity and undeterred by the political tumult, hardship, and uncertainty they found there. Among them was Anne Joyce, who arrived on a ship that pulled into the wharf sometime around 1676. She was a teenager, and she had waited for weeks on the sea crossing to feel this new land under her feet. She would tell the people she met that she had been born in the tropics, in a slave society, and that she had ended up in England sometime in the mid-1600s. There, she told them, she had signed on as an indentured servant to Charles Calvert, the son of Cecil Calvert. The Calverts had regained control of the colony from the Protestants, and Charles had become Maryland's new proprietor.